I'm Fast Eddie, and you're Dennis Webb. Good morning.
Hold that thought.
Good morning.
Check your ID. You might not be Dennis Webb.
I might not be Fast Eddie.
At least you didn't say Dennis Dummy or something like that.
Oh, well, give us another day here. We'll booger that, too.
Wait a minute. Another day? Oh, we haven't messed it up enough, huh?
Not at all.
Anyway, Delta Hawk builds diesels. Tell us about your diesel.
Well, super. And actually, it's a diesel technology engine. Our compression ignition is a lot of aficionados
would say. Yeah, that sounds really technical.
Yeah, it does. FAA calls it CI or compression ignition as opposed to spark. But yeah, it's the difficult part is making a jet fuel burning reciprocating engine that's also lightweight and durable. People think of diesels like you think of on your tractor or your Ford truck or whatever as durable and great fuel efficiency and a whole lot of good aspects to them. But boy, are they big and they heavy. And so the magic, not the magic, it's the engineering it takes, the technology is to make them small, lightweight, make obviously the durability that we need for aviation, perform at all different altitudes. But again, small, lightweight, compact. And that's what we're all about.
Why are diesels heavy? Is it because they have to withstand such high cylinder pressures?
Yeah, exactly. The fundamental technology is you're lighting off based on heat of compression, so you have to have a large stroke if you get down to the technicalities of it. And so that makes high cylinder pressures. And so getting a lightweight diesel to be durable is part of the really engineering challenge for people like us.
You've been around for a long time, so you've gone through a lot of iterations, I'm sure.
We have. A little history of the company is we were a very small, underfunded company. That's unique in aviation,
yes,
isn't it?
Exactly.
That's a standard in aviation.
That's a standard in aviation.
The business model always starts out with a shoestring.
Yeah. But, so not an unusual story there. The difference is that we've made it. We struggled for many years. People come and go based on payroll and what we could do. And 4 years ago, we landed a significant funder, the Rood family out of Racine, Wisconsin, which is where we're from, kind of interestingly enough. So Americans funding general aviation. How's that for something kind of cool?
Yeah, that's new.
Yeah. And so they believe in the company. They believe in what we're doing. And some very successful serial entrepreneurs. And they love aviation. And so we got the funding we needed. 4 years ago, there were three of us. Today, there are 50, and we're still hiring. Plus extraordinary investment in infrastructure. And we have, I hate cliches, but I don't know what to say besides state-of-the-art testing facilities, quality labs, clean rooms, computer simulation tools, anything we need to get this thing done and to be the best it can be is what they've invested in, and they believe in us. So.
Now, this is a clean sheet design. This is not an adaptation of an already existing engine.
Absolutely. And we actually rolled out this year at EAA what really we're all about. And this is what we've driven us all along. But we roll out the tagline, Power Reimagined. And basically the premise is this, is, you know, we all know about the legacy engines that, you know, have been around since World War II, I guess, and obviously there's been improvements, but it's the same technology. Or we have other jet fuel burning competitors, not talking about turbines, but recip engines, diesels, that are primarily based on automotive type technology, four stroke, spin them fast, gear them down, lots of electronic sensors and stuff, you know, it takes to make them work. And really what we told our engineers this, our engineers are also pilots, which is kind of interesting, and that's let your imagination run wild. If you wanted something underneath your cowl of your airplane, and you were the one who was flying it, you were the one who was writing the checks, you're the one who had your kids or grandkids in the back seat, you're the ones who had to maintain it, what would it look like? The theme around us is simple. Very few parts, no complex electronics, sensors, and that's really what we're all about. And when you get simple, simple means less things to break, less things to maintain, and that also leads to small, lightweight, compact. And a quote I love by Leonardo da Vinci, everybody knows who he is simplicity is the ultimate sophistication. Simplicity is the ultimate
sophistication. Oh, I like that. I hadn't heard it put like that. I've always heard about the elegant solution.
Yeah. You know, the other one elegantly simple is something we've used in the past, too.
Right.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
The other solution, of course, is the KISS principle.
Absolutely.
Now, is this air or water cooled?
This is liquid cooled, but liquid cooling brings a lot of good things to engines. They live longer. You can control the environment as opposed to air cooled. Actually, less drag. It takes a lot of aerodynamic drag to cool fins versus cooling a radiator. And the two questions I always get asked: well, I bet it weighs more. Well, actually, we've done it from a weight competitive standpoint, and the other big question is, well, what happens if you lose your cooling? And the way we've designed this, again, remember this was designed by pilots, is if you lose your cooling, you can still operate this engine at about 50% power. Unlike your car engine, it locks up, seizes, you're on the side of the
right.
road. So things like that have built into this technology a lot of redundancies in all the systems.
So at 50% power, if you lose all your coolant, mm-hmm. it'll still run unlimited time.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to say approximately 50%, but it's right around there.
Okay.
Depends upon atmospheric conditions and so forth. Now, I got to tell you, we don't suggest, the pilot's operating handbook won't say continue your flight. It'll say find a safe place to land.
Right, but it buys you time.
It buys you time, exactly.
That's correct.
Is it anything similar to like what the North Star system uses, where they alternate cylinders?
No, there's no electronic controls.
None at all. Okay.
Absolutely. It just runs.
No valves, no
cams. So basically they're rejecting enough heat through the block that they
through
can
the
get away with
it. Through the oil system and the block and
so forth. Oh, and the oil system too. I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
What about preheating a diesel? Is that harder?
Well, everybody knows, I think, it's a little harder to start a diesel in colder weather. So we have a couple things built into it. First, we have glow plugs. We're actually doing cold start testing now, and we don't have the final numbers, but trust me, we can start this thing very cold.
Good.
And then we also, everybody knows who Tanis is, the preheater guys. We partnered with them early on, and Tanis preheaters are built into our engine. It's not an add-on. It's built into our engine as a non-option. It comes as part of the engine. So if it's a really cold climate, you have power, you can plug it in. But we have glow plugs built in as well. The other thing is we're a two-stroke diesel. And two-stroke, don't think of weed eater where you're burning oil. Two-stroke, about half of all locomotives are two-stroke diesels, and most large marine engines are two-stroke diesel as well. But an advantage two-stroke brings to starting is as unlike a four-stroke, which the two-stroke brings us a lot of things, but when it comes to starting, when you're trying to light it off, you get compression every stroke. So you don't lose the heat in between while you're trying to light it off. So it actually lights off a lot faster as well.
Interesting. Is there any talk about emissions for aircraft diesels?
There is not. There are some emission standards on turbine engines, but there are none on recips. But if you're bringing it up based on thinking like weed eaters that have high emissions, two-stroke, this is nothing like a two-stroke gas engine. So
You don't get blow-through then?
Like you do get blow-through, but it's only air. That's what's different. And a gas two-stroke.
So you're using direct injection.
We're using direct injection. So if you any blow-through as you're scavenging the cylinders, pure air.
Okay.
So it's not like a...
It's not. You're not paying an efficiency penalty.
We're not paying efficiency or an emissions penalty at all. Yeah, we're compressing air and then lighting it off with direct injection at the top of the stroke.
Is this a pancake motor, an inline engine?
This is actually a V. It's a V4. And we did that because you brought up earlier about the high forces in a diesel. And from an engineering standpoint, it's a much more solid structure to get the V configuration as opposed. If you ever want to strobe a flat engine and watch it how it dances around, it'd probably scare you.
No kidding. You get a lot of block stretch and flex and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Where a V is very, very structurally very sound. So that's why it's a V. The other reason why, by the way, I mentioned earlier, you mentioned lightweight, and I also threw in compact, is if you look at the frontal area of this engine compared to virtually any other in the market, it is very compact. We have a Cirrus SR20 over at our booth that we flew in, and actually the cowl looks like a turboprop. It's spinner, smooth back to the fuselage with a little smiley face at the bottom a little face, a little mouth on the bottom for the air intake, but it looks more like a turboprop. You don't have the big frontal area that you have the aerodynamic losses with a traditional engine.
The engine, I'm assuming that you've got an aluminum block with steel cylinders in it?
Liners? Yeah, we use aluminum, aircraft grade aluminum, very structural aluminum. But then there are some sleeves in it too for the wear surfaces. Absolutely.
Okay. I like sleeves. Sleeves
are good. Can you hand prop a diesel?
You cannot.
I didn't think
no, they
so.
have to spin fast to get the heat of compression, which of course is a safety feature.
Yeah. Okay, it won't start accidentally.
That's right.
What kind of compression ratios are you running on this thing?
You know, I don't even have those final numbers. We've kind of tweaked them a bit. You know, it's up in the teens, but I don't have the exact ones with me. So.
Wow, okay. That's actually kind of low for diesel. I always thought they were up in the 20s.
Well, the reason that we do that is you want to have room. I'll say, you know, compression room. We are turbocharged and supercharged, so you're stuffing a lot of air in it on top of the high compression. So that gives you some flexibility.
Yeah, you want to be able to run more boost.
Yeah, yeah.
What kind of fuel burn are you seeing with this engine?
We are still finalizing that with our testing, but we have seen typical mission profiles compared to an avgas, and I'm talking mission. I mean, from light up to shutter down, about 35 to 40% less fuel burn in a gallons per hour, so it's a very efficient engine as well.
Are you getting a lot of interest from the home built community?
Absolutely, from both home built and certified both. We've been exhibiting here for quite a while, and the interest is built, and we occasionally get people who say, oh, I've never heard of you before. But for the most part, we have a fan base, and people can't wait for it, but extraordinary interest with the home-built community. In fact, part of our business model is not just to sell engines, but it's complete firewall packages. So a certified engine, but with, you know, a complete installation package, firewall to prop, with cowl and prop and the whole deal. And we're working on STCs for the certified guys as well.
Can you handle a constant speed prop?
Absolutely. Not only handle with a turbocharged engine, you really need that to take advantage of it. So, yeah, absolutely.
Jet A is so much more available. That has to be one of the driving forces.
You can get it worldwide almost anywhere.
Absolutely. It's and, of course, we know the leaded issue here and so forth, so leaded fuel issues.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us, Dennis, from Delta Hawk.